Good to see everybody here on this beautiful day. We are on 2 Samuel, and we are in chapter 15. It's a long chapter, if you notice. We're making our way through it in pretty good shape. We are actually at verse 31. So it's 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 31. David is in the middle of being on the run because of Absalom, and we're taking it up right in the middle of that. The previous verse, it's important to remember that David was going up to the Mount of Olives, going up the slope of the Mount of Olives. Remember, as he was going up, he was weeping. So just remember kind of what state he was in. And his head was covered, all right, and he was walking barefoot. And all the people who were with him also covered each one his head, and they went up, and as they were going up, they were weeping. And so notice those two constructions that we kind of ended with. The construction, you have two infinitive absolutes, that alo, uvako. Notice those two infinitive absolutes, and it's one of the ways that Hebrew indicates continuous action, or simultaneous action. So when you want to say that you were going somewhere and you were doing another action at the same time, two infinitive absolutes are the way to do it. You would translate, as he went up, he wept, or as he was going up, he was weeping. Earlier in the same verse, you did the same thing with two participles, and that's what I wanted to point. So if you just kind of go back in verse 30 to the ola u voka, notice it's the same words, but except they're participles rather than infinitive absolutes. And so you'll kind of see that. You'll see that combination sometimes as well. So it's really an interesting verse for noticing kind of an unusual feature of Hebrew grammar. All right? So we're about to start with then verse 31 here. V'David higid le'mor, Achitofel ba ko sherim im Avshalom. Vayomer David, sakel na et atza Achitofel Adonai. All right. Notice that the Masoretic text does not have a lamed before David, u le David, but notice in the footnote that the Qumran manuscript does, so does the Septuagint, and that is how you have to translate it. And to David, someone said, higid, hifil from nagad. Okay? In English, you might say, it was told to David. There's an impersonal subject. All right? And very common in Hebrew. Saying, lemor, Achitophel. Remember, this was David's advisor, the traitor, the treacherous one from verse 12. Achitophel is ba ko sherim. This is a call participle from kashar. Kashar means to bind, so you tie together. Or when we're talking about a conspiracy, it means to conspire. So is with the conspirators, or is among the conspirators, im Absalom, with Absalom. All right? Then David said, sakel na. Notice that sakel is an imperative, pl, masculine, singular. And in the call, it means to be foolish. Okay, stative, to be foolish. PL becomes factative, to make foolish. And notice it's a request, a polite request. Nah. May he make foolish et atzat, the counsel of Achitophel. All right? Yahweh. Oh, Yahweh. Okay? I wouldn't say make. I should just say it's an imperative. Make, please make the counsel of Ahithophel foolish, O Lord. Okay, so it's kind of foreshadowing of what's going to happen. All right. So, in other words, when David is told that Ahithophel, his trusted advisor, is a traitor, he prays this prayer, makes this request to the Lord. Okay. Questions about verse 31? Any of the grammar? All right. Verse 32. Vayahi David ba'ad harosh asher yishtachav sham lelohim. Vehine likrato chushai ha arki. Karua kutanto vadama al rosho. Okay. Vayahi, now it happened, as David Ba, this is just a call participle from Bo, as David was going up to the top, okay, and remember we're referring to Zaytim, the top of the Mount of Olives. As David was going to the top, Asher Yishtachaveh. Now this is kind of interesting. Notice that you have a prefix form. All right? And you have this relative clause, where, and notice it's the switch to the imperfect, which indicates it's probably this kind of habitual action. Where one worships their Lelohim, God. Okay, so notice Lamed functions as an accusative. So notice, as David was going up to the top, namely of the Mount of Olives, where one worships their God. Okay, everybody see that? Vehine, look, likrato, to meet him. Okay, here's an infinitive from the root kara. Notice that the most common meaning of kaf, resh, aleph is to call out. But remember, there's a secondary meaning. It means to meet. And it doubles with, instead of an aleph as the last letter, a hey, kara, to meet. So they're kind of biforms of each other. And you're going to see this form a couple more times in our reading. And look, to meet him was Hushai, ha-arki, the archite. Okay, so another weird place name. Karua, call, passive participle from kara. Torn was his kutanto, was his tunic. From kotenet, okay? And adama, and dirt, al rosho, was on his head. So again, the whole verse. Now, as David was coming up, going up to the top, where one worships God, there, vehine, look, to meet him was Hushai, the archite. Torn was his robe, and dirt was on his head. So I'm not sure if David was coming up and Hushai caught up with him, or Hushai was a little ahead of him. I'm not sure kind of exactly what the situation was. All right. Remember we had an earlier conversation with Itai, and he told him to come back. So notice there's different, it's interesting, this whole section, there's different people coming to David, and David is kind of giving them instructions as to what to do. So here's another one, Hushai. All right, any questions through 32? Yeah, I will.
Why did you make that one indefinite instead of David worship?
Oh, you're right. You could actually have David as a subject where David, you could actually do it like this. As David was coming up to the top, where he would worship God there and make it that way. So you can either understand it as this one-time occurrence. That's where he was going to bow down to God and ask for his help, or you could understand it as this was a place that was customarily used to worship. And I think you could go either way. I mean, grammatically, you don't have you can't decide just on the basis of that grammar alone. Yeah. That's actually a good point. Okay, verse 33. Okay, Vayomer lo David, im avarta iti. Vehayita alai lamasa. Okay. Then said to him David, notice the word order, if avarta, if you accompany me, cross over with me, then hayita. Can anyone tell me what the root of hayita is? It's from haya, right? What's missing? Okay, the last hay is missing, or the last yud, right? It's just an unusual form, and the Masoretic note says that this is like the only occurrence where you don't have that other yud. So it's just remember here you get a lot of unusual spellings. So David said to him, if you cross over with me, you will be ally to me a masa, a burden. You'll become a burden to me. Notice haya plus lama to become, you will become a lie to me a burden, or upon me a burden. All right, so Hushai may have been getting like old, like me, arthritic, you know. David's got to be able to go on the run. All right. Verse 34. Ve'im ha'ir tashuv, ve'amartel avshalom, avdeka ani hamelech ehyeh, eved avika, Va'ani me'az, va'ata'ani avdeka, ve'hefarta li et atzat achitofel. Okay, but if to the city tashuv you return, again, notice you don't need a locative hey, you don't need a preposition. Hebrew, we get this all the time. You have to get it from the context. If you return from shuv, if you return to the city and you say to Absalom, avdeka, your servant, I am, or I, O king, yeah, will be. Okay, now I want you to notice how many words David uses here. It's like a lot of superfluous language. It's really interesting. So if to the city you return and you say to Absalom, your servant I will be Hamelech, O king. So he actually wants Hushai to address Absalom as Hamelech. Okay? A servant of your father, okay? I was, see, so you have to add the verb. A servant of your father was I, and a servant of your father, also I, me'az, from then, namely from times past. All right, so again, notice you're tripping up over the words. Ve'ata, and now, also I will be avdeka, your servant. Okay, so let me translate that whole thing again. But if to the city you return and you say to Absalom, your servant I will be, O king. So you read to the Zakef there. Your servant I will be, O king. The servant of your father also I was, me'az, from long ago. And now also I will be avdeka, your servant. See so how he repeats himself? Okay? So notice he's supposed to tell Hushai, I was a servant of David, now I'm going to be your servant. That's what he's supposed to tell Absalom. Okay? Ve-he-far-ta. Anyone see the root of that? Parar. Parar. What conjugation is it? With the hey in front of it. Anyone see it? With the hey, it tells you it's a hifil from parar. Parar means to be broken. Hifil means to break. Okay? Again, the resh, those double root letters, the second resh disappears. And you will break for me, et atzat, the counsel of Achitophel. Okay, so notice he wants Hushai to act as a spy, pose like he's serving Absalom, and thereby break the counsel of Achitophel. So notice David, even as he's fleeing and crying in his state, I mean, notice the different picture you get here. The guy's no dummy. Politically, when you talk about intrigue. See, so he's the other. So notice there's like four or five people that he sent back to infiltrate Absalom's inner circle. Okay? Questions? Yeah, Will.
Is it a common way to make a vocative just to put a definite article?
Yeah. Yep. That's the common way, right? That is actually the common way.
Okay.
Yep. All right, good. Verse 35. Vahalo im kasham tzaduk ve'evyatar hakohanim ve'haya kol hadavar asher tishma mibet hamelech tagid letzadok u le'evyatar hakohanim. Okay. Notice a question. Is not and will not with you there. So will there not be with you there Zadok and Abiathar the priests? Remember earlier in the chapter he sent both Zadok and Abiathar the priests back and their sons too. And it will be Kol Hadavar, everything which you hear, Mibet Hamelech, from the household of the king. Tagid, you should tell from Nagad to Zadok and to Abiathar, the priests. Everybody get what's going on? Okay, any questions? Okay, verse 36 again. Vehine Sham Imam Shnei Benehem Achimaatz Letzaduk Vihonatan Le'evyatar Ushalach Tembe Yadam Eli Kol Davar Sher Tishma'u. Okay. Look, there with you are their two sons, Shnei Benehem. Notice Shnei is just a construct form, as you often see. Are their two sons, Achimaatz, belongs to Tzedek, And Yehonatan belongs to Abiathar. Ushlachtem, and you will send Beyadam by their hand to me. And notice it means send word to me. Send by their hand everything which Tishma'u you hear. So notice he tells Hushai who's on David's side, so he knows who's who in Absalom's court. Namely, Zadok, Abiathar, and those two sons. They can be trusted. See, Hushai can be trusted. He's to listen and then send those two sons to David with what Absalom is doing. Very interesting. All right. Questions through 36? Is it all clear? All right. Verse 37. Vayavo Hushai re'a David ha'ir. Vavshalom yavo Yerushalayim. Now, this is kind of interesting. So Hushai, now notice this form, re'a, that means friend. Do you remember the spelling that you guys learned friend as? Without the hey, just resh, ein, and then a fortive patach under the ein, re'a, means friend. So here you have a kind of a rarer spelling. It's only used just a few times. So Hushai, the friend of David, went ha'ir, to the city, namely Jerusalem. Now notice this last phrase, because look at the verb form. It's an imperfect, yavo, and Absalom, yavo Yerushalayim. Okay, now, so notice, you could so Hushai, the friend of David, went to the city. You could translate, while Absalom was entering Jerusalem, see, so that imperfect has that progressive. So you have this, here comes Absalom in one direction while, and, you know, his people, while here comes Hushai, the other one. It might also be that they use that verb form, yavo, rather than a simple perfect form, because it kind of heightens it. This is a significant event, you know. And notice it comes kind of at the end, so that when you translate, and while Absalom was entering the city, notice that there's a kind of a certain ominous force to it as you're kind of finishing up this chapter. He doesn't just report the event. He takes you into as it's progressing, and by so doing, you get this sense of the importance of it. So notice he juxtaposed two actions. Hushai entered, and Absalom was entering. Okay? And this second action, you dwell on it longer because you see it in progress with the imperfect form. So it's just kind of a nice little touch that the author gives to this story. All right? Because it's significant. Absalom's entering Jerusalem, the capital, see, as Hamelech, the king. All right? Any questions through 16 or 15? Okay. We start a new chapter. Ve'David avar me'at me'harosh ve'hine dziva na'ar mefivoshef likrato ve'tzemet chamorim chavushim va'alehem Matim lechem u mea zimukim u mea kites venevel yain. Okay, now David Avar passed a little from the top. Namely, I think it's probably saying that he had crossed over to the other side and was on his way down. So David passed a little from the top. So you get a little. So as all this stuff was going on in Jerusalem, see, David continued. Now notice the same structure you're getting as we got with the hine clause earlier in like verse 32. All right, so David crossed, me'at means is just an adverb, a little bit. So had crossed a little bit from the top. And look, Ziva, Na'ar, the young servant of Mephibosheth, likrato, to meet him. Okay, and notice we almost have to understand the verb came to meet him. But we try maybe say was there to meet him. I mean, you don't have the verb, so again, we're not quite sure of the relationship. But again, it's kind of the same pattern that we saw earlier with this hine plus this likrato. It's just kind of it's kind of unique to this narrative. Okay? And zemed, that's a yoke of chamurim, a yoke of asses. Chavushim, saddled. This is from what root? Chavushim. Chavash, what kind of verb form is it? Passive participle call. Notice that it doesn't have the vav in the middle of it. It's kind of short. And remember, passive forms often function to modify nouns. So here this modifies chamurim, which is why it's plural. A yoke of asses saddled. Or we could translate a yoke of saddled donkeys. Okay? Va'alehem, and on them, matayim. Notice that word, that simply means 200. It's 100 with the dual ending. 200 lechem. 200 bread. And again, remember, when you get to these high numbers, the noun is usually singular. So we would say, but in English we have to say 200 loaves of bread. Umeya, and 100 zimukim. Zimukim are bunches of raisins. So in 100 bunches of raisins. And 100 kites. Kites can mean the season, summer, or summer fruits. And 100 summer fruits. Venaval yain. And only one jug of wine. So poor, you know, they had food and stuff, but no booze for the evening campfires. I thought that's funny. 100, 200, 100, one lousy jug of yain. Okay. Any questions about verse 1? Verse 2, Vayomer HaMelech. The king said to Ziva, Ma Ele Lach. What are these for you? See, in other words, what are these for, we would say. But here it's, what these to you? Vayomer Ziva, and Ziva said, Hachumarim, the asses are for the Beit HaMelech Likrov, to ride. The asses are for the household of the king, Likrov, to ride. Simple call, finitive construct, for purpose. Okay. Okay, now notice this. What's unusual about this form? Ve Lamed Halechem. What's unusual there? What's missing? No vowel under the lamed. Everybody see that? That's because the Masoretes don't want you to read the lamed. Notice they just simply want you to read ha-lechem, ve-ha-lechem. And you can see that out on the note. But since the lamed somehow got into the text, they're not going to change the consonantal text. But it doesn't. But notice when I translate it, and the bread and the summer fruits are le'ekol, for the eating of the ne'arim, for the servants to eat. Okay. So notice he says the asses are for the household of the king to ride, and the bread and the summer fruits are le'ekol, to eat ha'ne'arim. And notice ha'ne'arim is the subject of the infinitive. So in very wooden English, we would say, and the summer fruits are for the eating of the servants. But it's obviously, it's not that they eat the servants, it's that the servants eat them, obviously. Okay? The hayayin, and the wine is, lish. This is only for emergencies, medicinal purposes only, lishtot ha-ya'ef ba-midbar. Ha-ya'ef means the one who is fainting. So, and the wine is for the one who is fainting in the desert, lishtot, to drink. That's a call infinitive construct from shata. The third hey verbs always form their ode endings in the infinitive. All right, so if you got a ya'ef in your troops, you can give him some of the wine. So they only need one jug, that's why. Okay? So he's preparing them for a journey, in other words. So they're going to have to be on the run for a while. It's kind of interesting. Okay? Questions through two? We'll do one more verse here. Vayomer HaMelech, Ve'ayeh ben Adoneka, Vayomer Ziva el HaMelech, Hine Yoshev Birushalayim, Ki Amar Hayom Yashivu Li Beit Yisrael Et Mam Lekut Avi. Okay. Then the king said, Ve'ayeh, and where is the son of your master? Who's he referring to? He says, your master. He's referring to himself. So he's asking where Absalom is. Where's the son of your master? Is another way of saying, where is my son? See, because evidently Ziva had been, you know, in Jerusalem, so he wanted to know where Absalom was. Vayomer Ziva. And Ziva said to the king, look, Yoshev Birushalayim. Look, he's sitting. Notice the call, Parsifal. Look, he is sitting in Jerusalem. Kiamar, indeed he said, Hayom, today, Yashivu li Beit Yisrael. Beit Yisrael is the subject of Yashivu. Okay? So notice you have a plural subject, or plural verb with a collective subject. We've seen it before. Okay? And Yashivu is a hifil, to return. So certainly or indeed he said, today the house of Israel has returned to me et Mamlekut, the kingdom of my father. Maybe we would say turned over to me rather than returned. So we probably translate, he has returned over to me the kingdom of my father. So it's interesting that he doesn't say Yahweh has done it, but the house of Israel has done it. And I'm wondering if here the house of Israel, he's referring mainly to the northern tribes. We have some interesting stuff going on in the next couple chapters here. What's going to happen with Absalom? All right? All right. Thank you guys very much for coming, and we'll see you next week. Bring your friends to Hebrew Club.